Philippians chapter number 2 tonight, if you would, for the preaching of God's word. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts from this. We gather around the Lord's table, and then practically as we function as not only the family of God, but the body of Christ, some things to be mindful of, and I trust that all of us will. Philippians chapter 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort in love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before thy throne today, bowing before you. Thank you that in our wins and our losses, in our ups and our downs, that you've been Lord through all of it. I pray, God, that help us, Lord, to realize if you've been faithful, so should we. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to hear the word of God tonight. We gather around the Lord's table. We think about what you did for us over 2,000 years ago. And I hope that as we contemplate what you did, we'd contemplate what are we doing in response to the cross, how good you've been to us. If all you ever did was go to the cross, we should serve you for the rest of our lives. But you do so much for us every day. What are we doing for you? What have we done for you lately? May tonight be a night where we strive to do more and make that commitment. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Just a few brief thoughts tonight from the Word of God. We live in a world that's caught up in living for yourself. I would ask you if you know any selfish people, but I think it would take less time for you to tell me the people that you know that aren't. It's become so common nowadays that the world is kind of teaching us. It's training us. It assimilates us to be in a mindset that says, look out for you. By the way, you read the book of Matthew chapter 5, and it shows us the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us these Beatitudes, which are these ways we ought to live. And each one of them are diametrically opposed to the way the world says we should live. By the way, you'll never be a good Christian being worldly. Hey, somebody say amen. You'll never be a good Christian walking according to the world's plans and the world's goals and the world's themes and the world's ideology. You'll never fit into the Christian life trying to live the way the world likes it. They don't understand success. They don't understand what's right. They don't understand priorities. That's why in order to really experience success in life, you have to know the Lord. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm glad he's come to live inside of me. And the Christian life not only seals your eternity with God in heaven when you leave earth, but it orders your steps with God while you're on earth. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Last week we spent some time in the Bible talking about keeping your foot out your mouth. And God helps us. We want God to guard our lips, guard our tongue, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And many of us mess up often with our mouths. Tonight I'd like to take some time to concentrate on another aspect of our lives that often, if not handled properly, gets us in trouble. Not just our mouths, but our minds. How many of you battle that mind? Come on, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Boy, you're just trying to get your mind to stay in check, and you're trying to get your mind to be on the right path, and you're trying to get your mind to be focused, and you're trying to get your mind not to be all over the place, and you're trying to get your mind to stay positive, and you're trying to get your mind to be directed in the right place at the right time and not be distracted by all of your obligations, and your mind is where you think, and your mind is where you process information, and your mind is where your perspective lies, and your mind is where your purpose is, and your mind is the way you view things, and your mind is the way you approach it. Listen to me. You can get your body as well as it can possibly be, but getting your body right when your mind is not right is pointless. Tonight I want to talk about keeping your mind right. It's amazing that Paul, in the midst of talking to people from prison, we just studied an entire book, the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote from prison. Philippians is another one. But Paul says when it comes to the mind, by the way, unity in the body of Christ comes not through uniformity, which is when we conform on the outside. Uniformity is not the same as unity. Uniformity is likeness on the outside. Unity is agreement on the inside. And the way that the church moves collectively in unity is for the individuals in the body of Christ to decide we cannot do everything the same, but we can decide to have the same mind. And that, according to Paul in Philippians chapter 2 here, is the mind of Christ. Listen to the statement in verse 5, and I'll give you, just throw out a quick, several quick thoughts at you tonight. Let this mind be in you. Often in the Bible, we see that word let, huh? Let the word of God dwell in you richly, right? That word let simply means allow. And by the way, the reason why the Christian life has a lot to do with allowing is because at the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. So everything you need to be successful in the Christian life, you don't need to be asking God for. Listen, it's already in you. So the Christian life is not about getting more of God. It's about letting God get more of us. So he says, let this mind, hey, Christ lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But here's how the Christian life is lived in a way of joy. Notice that Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. In other words, you've been rejoicing in the things that I told you. But if you'll start living in the mind of Christ, you won't just have to rejoice in what's happening in my life. You can rejoice in what's happening in your life. Amen. The mind of Christ. God, I want to see things the way Jesus sees them. I want to view things the way Jesus views them. I want to approach things the way Jesus approaches them. They got bracelets and bumper stickers saying, what would Jesus do? I think they ought to change it to, what did Jesus do? I mean, would makes us guess. Did, we know. So tonight we talk about the mind of Christ. We're not going to speculate as to what Jesus would do. And by the way, if you'll spend more time doing what Jesus did do, then when you approach situations, you'll know what he would do because you've been doing what he, come on now, what he did do. So what mind? What perspective? What attitude? What approach? What viewpoint on life did the most influential human being ever to grace planet Earth have? I'm glad you asked tonight. The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Number one, verse number 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Number one, he had a sacrificial mind. What do you mean? Jesus was God. You know what comes with, well, I didn't get enough on that. Jesus was God. You know what comes with that? Omnipotence, all powerful, omniscience, all knowing, omnipresence, ever at the same time. Immutability, can't change, eternality, was, is to come. Not created, but did the creating. I listen to you, you can't say that about anybody but God. Amen, he was God. But he was not only God in his position. Amen. I mean, he's equal with God. God the Father is no more important than God the Son, nor is God the Holy Spirit any less important than God the Father. But listen to me now. Jesus being equal with God in position decided to come to earth, and the position that he enjoyed in heaven, in the very presence of his Father, executing his attributes at will, he was so sacrificial that in order to save you and me, he would not stop being God, but he would set aside some of his privileges in heaven that he had as God to come to planet Earth. Let me ask you something. If he who was meant to be at the top left the top and came to the bottom to save you and me, then if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we got to be willing to leave the top and go to the bottom. What would the church be like if every single member would be willing to set aside his position, his preferences, and his perks for the good of somebody else? Have you ever said, I don't do that? Well, that's not my responsibility. Well, I didn't put it there. I didn't leave it there. Nobody assigned me to this. Watch it. It's not my week. Let me tell you something. It wasn't Jesus' week to save you. He just chose to. Come on now. That's sacrificial. We have to be willing to give up even the things that we think are rightfully ours. And by the way, what was rightfully Jesus's, listen to me, we don't have any rights. Because we came into this world sinners, separated from God, bent towards hell, absolutely lost. All of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. The only thing that God owes us is an eternity in a Christless place called hell. Thank God that because of his sacrifice, we've been saved. Amen. It's a sacrificial mind. Notice verse number 7, made himself of no reputation. This is a phrase in scripture that's often been debated. But made himself of no reputation. It literally translates, he emptied himself. And some have struggled with this because they've contended that in order to come to earth, Jesus had to empty himself of deity. In other words, he had to stop being God in order to become man. I want you to understand something about deity and humanity. We can never be deity. Amen. Because we can't be God. But God chose to become humanity. But please understand that when Jesus became man, deity didn't exchange with humanity. Deity just had an addition of humanity. He didn't stop being God in order to be man. He added humanity to his deity. And he, by the way, while on planet Earth, he still could have all power. He still could know all things. He still could be everywhere he wanted to be if he chose to. But he willingly decided to veil, to relinquish the use of those attributes, not because he couldn't or he wasn't God, but he chose not to do it in order to identify with mankind. He didn't empty himself of deity. He emptied himself of that choice to use it every time he could and had every right to, because more than doing what he could do was doing what he wanted to do. And that was to save us. That's selfless. Selfless says, for your sake, I'll choose not to do what I could do because it means more to me to want to do for you than to do what I know I can do. By the way, that's meekness. We mistake meekness with weakness. Meek people are not pushovers. They're not punks. They're not easygoers who won't confront. Meekness is represented in people who have power choose not to use power where they could use power. And by the way, showing off everything you got takes a whole lot less character than withholding what you could for somebody help me preach for the benefit of somebody else. He made himself of no reputation. Wow. That's selfless. I'm God. And yet I'm going to walk amongst people that I have made myself and choose to walk among them as if I'm one of them, when in actuality I created them. You ever seen that that show Undercover Boss? I don't know that I've watched it once, but I've heard about it, and I've done a little research on it just here and there. Seems to me that the premise is the one who's actually the boss, the owner of the company, makes himself look like one of the workers of the company, disguises himself, and finds out how people will treat him if they don't know who him is. You know what Jesus did when he came to earth? The boss worked alongside the employees. You hear me now? I mean, the one who owned the company decided to work for the company so that the workers of the company could realize that he loved them that much. Listen to me. I think sometimes we're more concerned about doing what's best for us than doing what's best for other people. He was a God with a sacrificial mind. He was a God with a selfless mind. Took upon him the form of a servant. He was a God with a servant's mind. I want you to know that he had all power in his hands, but the same hands that turned water into wine and multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, the same hand that touched the leper and cleansed him, the same man that gave sight to the blind hands that gave sight to the blind man, is the same hands that took that basin and began to take that towel and wash the disciples' feet. The greatest of these is a servant. Where are the servants? In 2017, everybody wants to be spectacular and everybody likes to flaunt status. The mind of Christ is a servant's mind. We're almost done. Look on, if you would. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. This is a submissive mind. Now watch this now. He who had the right to tell people what to do willingly allowed himself to be told what to do. Now let's just be honest. Our nature resists correction, doesn't it? I mean, anybody in here tonight's just going to wave your hands up and say, I just want to tell you that there's just something that skips in my heart when people boss me around. You're kind of weird. All right? And you don't tell the truth. Okay? We don't like being told what to do. It's the flesh. I mean, how long does it take for us to recognize defiance in infants? You all, I mean, I bet if you got a time, somebody in here got a time that'll beat yours. All right? Kids express so vividly, so early, that sometimes what they do is merely just because it was opposite of what you said. Amen. I mean, it's almost like identifying standards and regulations causes people to be more prone to break them. Amen. I mean, if you put a do not enter sign on the bathroom, it's going to make somebody enter. Do not use this toilet. Ooh, I'm going to use it. Listen to me. I mean, there's just something. Eat off of every tree in the garden, but don't eat off of that one. That's the one we're going to eat off of. The nature of man says, where you put an X, I want to mess with it. And yet the Bible says he learned obedience. Do you remember the word for learn in the Bible has the idea of come to the point in knowledge where it affects the way we behave? Jesus learned obedience. What do you mean he learned obedience? I can tell you one thing. In heaven, he didn't have to learn it. Became obedient even unto. You know what that means? Obedient all the way to the end. If you were Jesus, just maybe you'd have said yes from the fullness of time. And said yes to that virgin birth. And yes to the manger. Not too bad. Yes to being born, working as a carpenter's son and joining in the family trade. And yes to even walking amongst earth and presenting yourself and being rejected. Yes to being disdained by the religious elite. But I wonder if you got close to the cross and the high priest servant start punching you in the face. If you just say, all right, Lord, I done said yes for 33 and almost a half years. But this right here, I didn't sign up for this. I wonder if when one of your own betrayed you, by the way, one of whom you washed his feet for 30 pieces of silver, kisses you in betrayal. I wonder if you'd call him friend. I wonder if with the high priest in mockery and a facetious nature begin to ask you questions like, on what authority you do this? And when Pilate asked you, what is truth? I wonder if you wouldn't have backed down from obedience. We fail to realize sometimes that although Jesus, the Son of God, was the Son of God, we forget he was God the Son. And at any moment on the way to the cross, he could have said, never mind. And yet all the way to where he himself had to become sin for us, who knew no sin. We think he paid for murder and paid for rape and paid for immorality. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5 doesn't just say he paid for it. It said he became it. Don't substitute your theories for biblical words. He hath made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us. He didn't just pay for rape. He became a rapist for us. No wonder he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen to me, no wonder he said that. God couldn't look on him because that which God hated, his son became. You remember the baptism of Jesus? You know what God's saying about him? I'm well pleased. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing? He's descending upon him. And I believe with all my heart, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani is my God. And Jesus, while on that cross, understood that not only was God the Father turning his back on him, but God the Holy Spirit, the dove, was flying away from him. My God, God the Father. My God, God the Spirit. Why hast thou forsaken me? Wow. And yet knowing the moment on the cross, before he ever mounted Calvary, he obeyed even unto death. I want to ask you a question. Tell me one biblical principle that you have pumped your self-security up into thinking is too hard for you to obey when God himself became sin for you. It's too hard to do this. Christianity asks too much of me. Leadership requires too many. Are you kidding me? He left heaven to literally come down to the wicked earth that he created and chose to be obedient. Ladies and gentlemen, if God can choose to obey, so can we. Amen. It was a successful mind and we close. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, give him a name which is above every name. Because he humbled himself, God honored him. And has given him a name which is above every name. Listen to me. There's coming a day where every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Hey, listen to me. If they're not bowing now, they're going to bow later. And the mind of Christ took him from humility to honor. The mind of a humanistic lifestyle says, go get your honor. Huh? This is what your flesh is telling you. Listen to me now. When you start thinking this in your mind, I can promise you it didn't come from Jesus. If they ain't going to recognize me, I'm going to recognize myself. That's the flesh. That's the flesh will tell you, don't nobody give me no credit. Nobody pays no attention to me. Nobody announce my name. That's the flesh. Even if they're wrong, the flesh is telling you to make sure you let them know they were. The mind of Christ is, I don't need their recognition. If I humble myself, I'll get the recognition that matters from God. I mean, what do you want? Your name spelled right in the bulletin or well done at the judgment seat? When we think about the cross tonight, let's remember that when he hung and bled and suffered for our sins on an old rugged cross, we celebrate the day that he paid our ransom with his blood. But there is never a day when he died on Calvary unless there was a mind that took him from that crib in Bethlehem to that cross in Jerusalem. You know, you can concentrate your Christian life on big days like great services and wonderful blessings and things where everything seems to go well. But if you want to do like Jesus did and be like Jesus was, don't just try to be who Jesus was on big days. You better try to get his mind on every day. Somebody tomorrow is going to get on your nerves. And watch this now. Somebody going to do it tonight. And you're going to determine whether your campaign is going to be to make sure you get yours or decide whether you're going to activate God giving you yours by you giving someone else yours. What a church we'd have. What a church every church would be if we didn't agree on uniformity, but agree on unity. And what greater area to be united in than having the mind of Christ. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for not just telling us from heaven how we ought to live, but thank you for sending your son to come to earth and show us how it's done. Thank you that we're just not serving a Jesus that would have done this. Thank you that we're serving a Jesus that did do this. And may there be a drive in all of us to have the mind of Christ. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. How about you tonight?